It is a joy. Let's pray. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you'd bless this time. And Father, with all that we've heard and been challenged and excited about regarding the books and that little teddy bear book, especially, Lord, and Father, Pam's word in singing, the doctrine of it all, how glorious this is. And Father, we pray that this morning you would allow us, Lord, to get closer, to arrive more tenderly, more alert to the fact that we are celebrating Christmas. And so, Lord, we pray that we would do that in spirit and in truth. And all of God's ladies said, Amen. Well, if you have a Bible, grab it, because this church taught me many years ago now, 30 years ago this last summer, got saved right back there in the last seat on the left side. So watch that seat. God blessed me there and heard the gospel for the very first time in this church and could not resist the love of God and came forward that day, June 20th, 1977. It was a Monday night. Greg Laurie was given the word of God and the Lord would not let me go. And I'm glad about that. We're looking at a message this morning. We're celebrating Christmas this morning with a message entitled Arriving at the Joy of Christmas. And we need to be doing that. And so this morning, I want you to be thinking, because I want to challenge you to be, in your mind, arriving at the joy of Christmas. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, the Bible tells us, Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. And so when we talk about arriving at Christmas, I'm going to be bringing some things before your thinking this morning. But the goal is to get all of us to be resurrecting Christmas joy in our hearts. Church, I don't know about you, but I take this attack on Christmas very seriously. You hear all the things in the media and all of the things in the press on how Christmas is offensive. Saying the word is offensive. We can't have Christmas trees. We have to have holiday trees. We've got all of these celebrations going on. Note this. Celebrations going on, but you can't reference baby Jesus. In our own community, there was a store. I call it Target. Some of you call it Target. But they had a mail out and it came to our house and they had a nativity scene there for sale. And it said, regarding this nativity scene, Joseph and Mary and baby. Now, I don't know about you, but I had to laugh and almost cry at the moment of seeing that. Joseph and Mary and baby. Baby who? What baby could this be? What baby are they talking about? Joseph and Mary. Well, if you look at the nativity scene, where would Joseph and Mary be looking? Where were they looking? They were looking at this baby. If you see the camel, where was the camel looking? Not at Joseph and Mary. The camel was looking at the baby. The wise men were looking at the baby with gifts in hand. They didn't bring gifts for Joseph and Mary. The little cow that was there, he's looking at the baby. There's a little lamb looking at the baby. And even the camel is peering over the shoulders of everyone at the baby. But the announcement was for sale right now, limited supply, so act fast. Joseph and Mary and baby. Listen, I don't want to offend anybody exactly, but his name's Jesus. His name is Jesus. And that's exactly, if it was good enough for Jesus to be named Jesus, if the Bible, the Old Testament, announced that he would be named Jesus, and if angels that day said his name would be Jesus, then you know what? We're going to call him Jesus. And we are going to wish people, aren't we, ladies, a Merry Christmas. In the Bible, there, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, the scripture says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public spectacle of her, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. So I want to stress to you this morning, we're going to be talking about a Merry Christmas. We're going to be talking about the reason for Christmas and how my heart's desire, I believe the Lord laid on my heart to challenge you ladies to go out of this place today. I mean, you're awful close to the mall from here. And when you go out on your Christmas shopping, no matter where you go, I want you to take full advantage of this time of the year to announce to people that it is a Merry Christmas and that Jesus is the reason for it all. And so as we are arriving at Christmas, some challenges. Number one, arriving at the joy of Christmas means this to all of us, that we are arriving at the place of Christmas. Now, let me explain what that means. God, in no uncertain terms, in the Bible, made it very clear his intentions. He didn't hide it. God announced that in history past, during the Old Testament period, Jesus Christ was to come, that he was to be born, and that Israel was to be looking for him. Friends, we are not embarking on a celebration that is some sort of a tradition. It is a tradition because it is the truth of God's word. God revealed to us the fact that Christmas would have a special place. And I want to draw your mind to that. And I honestly hope and pray. You've been prayed for this morning if you are a skeptic today. Maybe someone invited you here and you're not sure about all this. Then I want you to put your thinking cap on and understand something. Regarding the place of Christmas, the Bible tells us this, that the place of Christmas was, number one, a promise given to us by God. The fact that God said 522 years before Jesus was born, listen to what he wrote in the prophet Micah. But you, O Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, that is, you are just a little insignificant village, yet out of you shall come forth to me one to be ruler in Israel, listen, whose goings forth have been from of old, even everlasting. That word means that whoever is going to come out of Bethlehem is going to be a very special person. And it's almost like an experiment, a test. Who would be born in Bethlehem? Who would be given by God? So that means a story would surround his life that God would send him. Ladies, you can search history. There's one person that has had a book written about them in advance, and that's Jesus. And that's called the Bible. God said, you'll be able to recognize him. He'll be born in Bethlehem. But not only that, he would be the ruler of Israel. Now, we await that day, don't we? We await for his return when that will happen. But the scripture says that this baby born in Bethlehem will be of old, of everlasting. The word in Greek is that he is eternal. When we see the little baby Jesus in the manger scene, we don't often equate to him as being eternal, but yet he's the eternal Son of God come to earth for us. The place of Christmas all begins with a promise. And as we look past, as we look to the present, as we look to the future, consider this. Secondly, it's a reality. Don't you love this? What we do at this time of the year, we are celebrating a reality. We are celebrating something that, according to the scriptures, again, written over 743 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah said in chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born." Well, that happens every day. A child is born, but it goes on and says a son is given. God sent his son, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Again, God announces that Christmas is a reality. Why am I saying this? Because every one of us should have the boldness at this time of the year like no other time of the year. The world dresses up for Christmas. Then it's incumbent upon us to give them the definition of Christmas. Because I don't want the stores to give me the definition of their view of Christmas. You and I, we are Christians. We have not followed, as Peter said, cunningly devised fables. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ, born Christmas morning in Bethlehem, exactly as the prophets said would happen. And then thirdly, under this point, arriving at the place of Christmas means to us that Christmas is a place that is prophetic. Christmas and the story doesn't end with baby Jesus being born. And it even doesn't end with his 33 and a half years of life here on earth and living in absolute perfection for us and showing us the way of eternal life. But the Christmas story, this is maybe the best thing of all for me. The Christmas story is a prophetic story. That the baby that was born in Bethlehem is the coming king, and he's going to return to Jerusalem. And that time, well, we know from great Bible teaching of this church, it's at least 7 years away in a day. The rapture could happen any moment, but the second coming of Christ, when he comes again, he will come, and he will come to his people Israel. He will come to his city of Jerusalem. But the beautiful thing of this is that the Christmas story is something that we look back to the past with confidence. We celebrate him now as a reality, and we need to do that boldly, always knowing, ladies, that what lies ahead for us as believers is the culmination of that great Christmas morning, that Jesus Christ came to die on the cross. Jesus himself said, for this cause, for this reason have I come into the world, to go to the cross. That's the Christmas gift. That God sent his son to go to that place for us. The Bible tells us regarding God's prophetic word in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name, as we sang, Emmanuel. The word translated means God is among us. So Christmas, in my opinion, as long as there's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what anyone wants to do, regarding the Christmas story and Xing out Christ and putting in that X there and trying to remove him. As long as there's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's always going to be a Christmas. No doubt about it. He is awesome and he is wonderful and he loves us. And the scriptures tell us clearly and plainly that this beautiful Jesus will come again. Secondly, our point this morning is this. Arriving at the joy of Christmas means that we arrive to the purpose of what Christmas is all about. We have a license right now. We have license to witness. I mean, we are commanded to witness always. But right now, we have license to do so. The other day, my wife and I, Lisa, we were going into Costco. And walked, you know, they check your card as you go in. And there's a lady standing there, and we were in line to go into Costco. And she's saying, Happy Holidays. Happy Holidays. And she's handing out some flyer. Happy Holidays. And she handed us a flyer. And she said, Happy Holidays. And I said, no, Merry Christmas. And she said, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Yes, yes. Merry Christmas. And she... Poor thing. Happy Holidays. Happy Holidays. Look. This is a great excuse. Not that we need one, but let's take advantage of every excuse we have. Let's tell them. Let's get out there. Go through the store. We were at the day after Thanksgiving. Did you do that thing like we did the day after Thanksgiving? I just carry stuff. Lisa shops, I carry stuff. And they just built a brand new center out there. And I thought JCPenney's were extinct, but they built a brand new one. And we went there, and I don't know what J.C. I grew up with J.C. Penney's, but J.C. Penney, I must stand for Jesus Christ Penney's. And so we went in there, and it was early, and we're looking, and I started to see people from the church. Randy, Merry Christmas! He shouts it back. Then Mary Andrews walks by, Merry Christmas! And then her daughters, we saw her in another aisle, Merry Christmas! People began to say Merry Christmas. One lady standing next to us, I didn't know who she was. She says, Merry Christmas, Pastor Jack. I go to Calvary Chapel too. I got to meet a brand new lady. Why? Because we take opportunity to announce like never before, Merry Christmas. The world doesn't want to hear it, they think. But the moment it happens, you see people listening up. They know what it's all about. They know what it's about. And so the purpose of Christmas, and herein is what I want you to think about. The purpose of Christmas was announced. We sang about angels on high announcing the birth of Jesus. Well, John chapter 1 verse 1 talks about this wonderful Jesus of ours, who in the beginning, the Bible says, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who was laying in that little manger? Jesus Christ, the Word of God. God sent his Word to us. And imagine, think for a moment, little baby Jesus coming into this world, God incarnate. Now, I don't want to take away from any miracle that God has done in your life. I mean, he healed me. I stuttered terribly, and God healed me of stuttering, and I'm grateful. But there is no miracle, in my opinion, that is greater than God allowing himself to be tucked inside of human skin and coming to this planet. Would you come to this planet if you were God? There is no way I'd come here. What brought him here? His love for you. And listen, don't sit here in this church and say, well, he must mean his love for the person next to me. If that even tempted your thought to think that, you need to realize he's talking to you. There is no one outside his love. You may be here today saying, well, you know what, Jack, I'm such a big sinner. Jesus wouldn't have me. Oh, no, 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 no. You are a trophy to the Lord. Because you know what? There is, and with all due respect, don't flatter yourself in thinking that you sin so much that God cannot save you. His blood is greater still. He is able to forgive. In fact, Jesus made it very clear. The one who is forgiven much does what? Loves much. So don't think you're outside the Christmas story. Not at all. John chapter 1 verse 14 confirms what we're saying, and that the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I'm glad about that. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says, for when they had come into the house, and they saw the young child with Mary his mother, they fell down and worshipped him, and when they had opened up their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We don't need to get into the prophetic meaning of all of that. I'd like to put it this way to you. They brought him gifts, and I'm wondering what those magi thought. Did they understand? I don't know. That laying in that manger was God's gift to them. Oh, we bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Very precious and very, very pricey things. And I love that. But God sent the ultimate thing. And that salvation came through Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is all about. And I want to tell you something. When we consider and look at Christmas, and we hear these debates on the news programs, and we see what happened or what's going on, this argument in Florida about trying to stop the nativity and Jesus being honored and no Christmas trees and all these things. Listen, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with Christmas? What's the big deal? If you don't want to believe in Christmas, that's your choice. But what are you doing to yourself? Don't do that to you. Christmas is wonderful. Well, I don't believe in Christmas. Okay, but listen, others do. Yeah, but it's offensive to me, Christmas. Offensive? How can it be offensive to you? That for God so loved the world, that's you and I, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's you and I again, would believe in him, would not perish, but have everlasting life. You have something wrong with that story? And yes, people do. Why must Christmas trees be called family trees? Yeah, what's with that? Why does Christmas have to be removed? Because the truth of the matter is, you can't say Christmas, because you know the word there, Christ, and Mass. Mass is gathering around Christ. You can't have that, because if you have that, someone's going to ask, well, who's Christ? Who do we gather around? Christ. Well, who's Christ? Jesus Christ. God sent his son, Jesus Christ. What did he send his son for? Died on the cross. Died on the cross? Why did that happen? Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can't save ourselves. Jesus died in our place. That's the gospel. He paid the debt that we could never pay. He set us free. He rose again from the dead to put it all into action. He confirmed it for us. It's Jesus Christ. So you can't say Merry Christmas because the word Christmas might offend somebody, because the truth of the matter is it gets to the very, very purpose of why he came. He came for you and I to experience eternal life. So when people say we're offended about the Christmas story and the Christmas tree and the Christmas whatever you want to call Christmas stuff, what people are really afraid of is, you know what, if we follow that logic through, then we're going to have to deal with this God that is asking us to believe in him. And I want you to take this challenge this morning. This God does want you to believe in him. This Lord does want you to come to have the peace that he offers at Christmas and every day for that matter, in the joy of what it all means. And you know, listen, I know it's Christmas, but Easter's right around the corner, and there'd never be an Easter without a Christmas. He had to come first, and he came for you and I, and that's a wonderful thing. Also this, the purpose of Christmas is the message. It is the message. The message of Christmas. And we have all these wonderful traditions, I guess you know. We have the Santa stuff and all the things and all the dress up and all that. But when Lisa and I, we lived right across the street at Keller Street there in Gospel Gulch. And when we had our babies born there, well, that's what we called it, Gospel Gulch. Is it still called that? Yeah. So when our kids were born, you know, we had this dilemma going on. What are we going to tell them about? Who's Santa? Who's Santa? What are we going to tell them about Santa? And God gave us this moment of inspiration. We told our kids, you know, when we go to the mall and all this stuff, that you see Santa's boots, see how black they are? Yeah, that's to remind us that Jesus came into this world. And he who knew no sin became sin for us and took upon himself our sin. And we got to receive his righteousness. And his red suit, you see his big red suit? That speaks about the blood of Jesus Christ, that he offered his blood for us. And that white hair and that white beard speaks about the righteousness of God. Look at the Bible says in the book of Revelation, he's got a white beard and the sun, as it were, shining in full strength, comes from him. You look at all these things that are announced and displayed boldly in stores and places about Christmas. And very few people in our culture today have moved here. They've immigrated here from various parts of the world. And we're finding out more and more that people don't even know the purpose of Christmas. Church, God has brought the mission field to us. And Christmas, what a joyful thing at Christmas to take advantage of this opportunity to tell people about what he's done for us. And then the Christmas purpose will be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled in this sense, that a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is exactly what I think I heard that the last gift number 7 that you open up in that little thing was a mirror. That's pretty cool. I thought it would be a heart. That's what I was thinking. I'm a guy. I'm thinking heart. You're a lady. You're thinking mirror. Okay, that works. I got it. But obviously something very personal. I like the mirror idea. It makes more sense. You know, oh man, hey, he wants me. That's right, he wants you. And you can talk about Christmas all you want. You can wish people a Merry Christmas all you want. But what a great thing if you could have a Christmas fulfilled in your life as a fulfillment. That maybe this year, above and beyond any other year before, your walk with Jesus, maybe you're not sure. And you could say to him tonight, you could say to him today, you could say to him tomorrow. I encourage you, say to him right now, Lord, I want to really celebrate and know the meaning and the purpose of this Christmas. And I want the truth of that fulfilled in my life. We can get so caught up, and we all do, in doing the Christmas thing. But are we taking in the fact that God gave? He didn't give us 25 gifts. He didn't give us 200 gifts. He gave us the one gift, the one that we needed. Now, we're going to go buy gifts for people. And we're hoping that it's the thing they need. You'll know in 1 minute when they open it up, you look right at their face, and you'll know. The Lord sent to us the very gift we needed. You see, well, Jack, I don't understand that because my life's fine. I've got everything that I could possibly want. You have peace. I have peace. Yes, I have peace. But I want to argue with you that it may be a conditional peace you might have if you don't have Jesus. It's a wonderful thing to know him. And to have his peace, I can tell you, transcends anything this world can offer. And ladies, I think for all of us as believers, have you got the feeling? I don't know how else to put it. Feeling, discernment, awareness. Aren't the days seeming real short all of a sudden? It seems like the last year, it's almost like whatever we need to do, let's get it done. You know what I'm saying? It's almost as though the Lord could come back at any second. And it seems like with the way the world is going, ultimately someday, my friend, Christmas is going to be fulfilled in all of its totality. That the baby who came, the man who rose from the dead, the ascended Savior, he's going to come back for us with a trumpet blast, and we're going to meet him in the air. See, that sounds like a fairy tale. It sounds awesome. It's in the Bible. The Bible's never tricked us, failed us, fooled us. It never will. If God said it's going to happen, what a great Christmas That when God delivers to us finally our complete redemption. Now hear me out. The moment you accepted Jesus Christ, ladies, you were born again by the Spirit of God. Your name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's a wonderful thing. But right now we're living in this world, aren't we? And things are getting older. Things are wearing out. I'm not talking about our car. I'm talking about, you know, I get up in the morning. I'm 50 years old. I get up in the morning and I'm reaching for the Advil or for the, you know, that's the breakfast of champions now. It's where's the Advil? Remember those little necklaces we'd get from the ice cream truck and chew on those? Remember those? The elastic necklaces and you'd chew on them? We need them now with aspirin, Advil, and chew on them like that. I am grateful that the Lord's coming back, completing and fulfilling His Christmas promise to us in every way, and that we're going to get brand new bodies. I don't know about you, but I'm very happy about that. Very happy about that. Arriving at the joy of Christmas means, thirdly and finally, it's this, that we arrive at the passion of Christmas. And I love this, I think, the most. The passion of Christmas is this, that it was of God. What do I mean by this, that it was of God? If you were to take the Bible and you were to outlaw the Bible, you know, that's happened in many countries throughout history. I remember just shortly after 91 or 92, Dr. Bill Bright got a hold of Pastor Chuck and he said, listen, I just got back from Russia. The wall is down. And Pastor Chuck, I think your Calvary Chapel pastors are the ones who need to get into Russia because they're predominantly younger. They draw a younger crowd. They're not stuck by the traditionalism of what's going on or what has gone on in the Russian Orthodox Church. We need to get some new life on the streets. And Pastor Chuck sent a letter out to the Calvary pastors, pray about going to Russia. And I looked at that and I thought, well, that's pretty wild. And my wife said, you better pray about that. And in 3 months, we were standing in Moscow in Red Square on a Knudsen, plastic Knudsen milk carton. Stood in front of Lenin's tomb. You know Lenin? The dead guy there in Red Square. He's dead. He looks like he's doing really good, but he's dead. He's just laying there embalmed, you know? And to preach on Red Square, the risen Lord Jesus Christ in front of Lenin's tomb. And somebody said, Russia's free. It's free. Go and preach. And I'm pointing to this dead guy here. Can't do anything for you, but Jesus rose again from the dead. And people started to gather around. And this one little babushka, you know what a babushka is? She came up. It was in the fall. It was in September. She had her bag of mushrooms. She was going home. She had picked mushrooms. Her hands were filled with black dirt. And she came up. Spasibusus. Thank you, Jesus. She grabbed me by the cheek like this and just kissed me on the face. And she's crying. And she says, listen. Through a translator, she said, listen, I was 10 years old when the communists came in to my home. They took away our cross. They took away our Bibles. And they said, God is dead. And she said, I've prayed 71 years that the Lord Jesus would be preached in my city again. Boy, I tell you, there wasn't a dry eye on the street when that was being announced. Jesus is illegal in some countries. And that's not going away. We have such great freedoms here. But it's not like this in other parts of the world. What is so threatening about the gospel? What is so threatening about Jesus? The beautiful announcement is that it was of God that Christmas would be brought to us. That the passion of Christmas is God reaching you and I. The Bible put away. The message tucked away. The Christians persecuted away. Why? Because the Bible, the message, what you and I live for, transcends everything that you and I have. It transcends anything you and I will ever be. That housed within us in these earthen vessels is a treasure. And that treasure is the gospel of Jesus Christ to announce to the world that Christmas is of God. It's the message that brings absolute hope. And in my community, there are people wearing various religious articles wrapped around them from various countries of the world. And it's a very difficult thing. Some of them won't talk to you. You try to talk to them, they can't talk to you. They're not allowed to speak to you. And we need to love them. We need to reach them. Because the message is, God came down to love you, and He did that through Jesus Christ. Any of you ladies today, you're thinking, oh, I don't know what God would do if he knew what my past was like. He knows your past. But I lived this lifestyle, or I was this way. Listen, read the Bible. Read the Gospel of John. A woman caught in the act of adultery, dragged to the feet of Jesus and thrown down there. What would God do? Well, watch what Jesus does. That's what God does. Woman, where are those who condemn you? I see that I have none. Go and sin no more. New life. Given by the... What a gift! At this Christmas, if you have never personally accepted the Lord Jesus Christ... Sounds corny, but you know what? I'm kind of into this kind of stuff. It's the way I'm wired. It sounds corny, but go get the biggest red bow you can find. Slap it on over your heart and dive under your Christmas tree. And say, Lord, here I am. I'm yours. And I got news for you. He will not take that gift back. There will be an exchange, though. He'll take all of our sin and He'll grant unto us His righteousness. He's so wonderful. And ladies, concerning the passion of God at this Christmas, I hope you don't find this... Well, you shouldn't find this irreverent, because I'm going to be quoting to you a Bible verse. How could that even be possible? It's got to be wonderful. Is Zephaniah. When's the last time you read the book of Zephaniah? Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is in the midst of you. Listen carefully. The mighty one of Israel, He will save you. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. And He will rejoice over you with singing. Think about that. If any of you this morning are thinking that you're somehow not worthy of God's love and favor and attention, think again. God says, this is what I am going to do. Imagine when you enter my presence in heaven, man, if you know the Lord, we're all going to be there. And I don't know how you think about that. Oh, I love Jesus. I love Him. I'm born again. I love God's word, but I just feel so inadequate. Let's be honest. Every one of us feel inadequate, but I don't pray enough. No one prays enough. I don't read my Bible. You can read your Bible all day. It's still not enough. Let's be honest. It's never enough. We're not saved by doing enough. We're not saved by doing anything but this. Coming to Him saying, Lord, You are my Savior at Christmas. You are my Redeemer. And Lord, I come to You. I bring my life to You. I don't have gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but I got Me, and it's all I got. And it's all, Lord, that You want. And so I come now. He will accept you. And in doing that, listen to this. In the Hebrew language, the Lord is in the midst of you. It speaks about a time when we will see Him face to face. Is that going to be great or what? It says that He's going to rejoice over us with gladness. The word in the Hebrew demands or tells us that God is going to be enthusiastic. Do you know what enthusiastic means in the Noah Webster 1828 dictionary? It's the real dictionary. Everything else is not a dictionary compared to the original dictionary. Enthusiasm or enthusiastic is based upon the Greek language. En is indwelling. Theos, you got that? Theos, God. Asm is reaction. When God dwells within you, there's going to be action. Isn't that great? Well, I'm a race car enthusiast. Well, that means your idol is a race car and it owns your heart. Well, I'm a sports enthusiast. Well, then sports is the Lord of your life. It drives your passion. I would rather be, as Webster says, a worshiper of Jesus Christ is the one who is enthusiastic, for God dwells within him. What a great thing that is. So, when the scripture goes on to say in Zephaniah 3:17, He will quiet you with His love. Listen, we see this picture in the mind. It's comforting a child, holding a child. God's going to do that to you. And then the best part, He will rejoice over you with singing. The word in Hebrew means he will twirl about. This is not symbolic language. God, when you and I get there, he's going to be so excited. You ever think, Jesus said, I will not drink of this cup until you're with me in the kingdom. Do you ever think of God being anticipating something and waiting for something? I don't normally think that way, but when I read the Bible and realize he is excited about you and I getting there. You say, Jack, I want to get there, but I think I'm just going to have to squeeze through. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I made it. Oh, I'm in heaven. Oh, no. The Bible says a grand entrance will be provided unto us through Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Do you know that at this Christmas? And so, ladies, we'll end with this. We'll end with this. The passion of Christmas, it's for us. It's for us. Ultimately, it's for us. And I want to give you the opportunity. This can be the greatest Christmas of all. And it comes with a very, very simple decision that God in his wonderful, infinite love has made it available for a child to do. And unfortunately, the older we get, it becomes harder to do. Maybe that's because Jesus said that to enter the kingdom of God, we need to become like a child. Many of us need to grow down and become like a child again. Why is that? And we end with this. Listen, why is that? Because you know when you were raising your little kids or friends who have children, you know when they're really little and you say, come to me, come here. What do? They come. They come. You put them on the wall, on the block wall, and you better be ready for this. Put them on the block wall and say, jump. And they jump, don't they? They're little. They're trusting. Jesus said, be like that. When they grow up, can you imagine putting your 13-year-old on a wall? Jump. Yeah, I'm not jumping. You're not going to catch me. Forget it. I'm not going to do it. The older we get more cynical. But we don't have to end that way. Simple belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And wherever you're sitting right now, you don't have to get up. You don't have to raise your hand. You just sit there because God knows your heart. And I'm leading a prayer in a moment. And if it's what you want today for Christmas, to have your sins forgiven, your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, the true meaning of Christmas, you'll have the joy of Christmas because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that joy is salvation through Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come and we want to thank you, Lord, that your gift to us not only was Jesus, is Jesus, and ultimately when we see you face to face, it's going to be Jesus. And Lord, we pray that in the quietness and the stillness of these hearts this morning, maybe there's one heart that maybe is caught up with religion and right now is thinking, well, I'm really religious, my friend, but do you know the Lord personally? Do you know what that's like? Maybe you're thinking some other thoughts and right now you sense and you know the Lord is speaking to you and he's saying, I want you to receive me now. Right where you're at, you just tell him, dear Lord, I want this. I want this joy. I want this purpose. I want this passion. And I want the place of the nativity in my heart. Lord, cleanse me. Forgive me. Please. I want to know you're real. Come into my life. I believe that you died on the cross and rose again from the dead. To those of you who've prayed that prayer, let someone know today. Tell someone, I prayed the prayer. They'll know what to do about that. But if you have meant that, God heard you. And to all of us here, I want to just wish you and bless you with the most wonderful, most holy, most exciting, most passionate Christmas ever. Because we have been freed by the Son of God who's brought us this truth that our God lives. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's ladies said, amen. Amen. God bless you.